Blog Talk Radio.
All righty. Well, good afternoon, good evening, and hello to all of you folks across the country and around the world.
Living life on the merry-go-round. You can't find a fighter, but I see it in you, so we can walk it out. We gon' walk it out. Ooh, all day. And I'll rise like the day.
This is going to be an interesting show today. I want to thank our host, Dr. Clark, who is going to come on and help us in one of the most critical areas that I have been faced with as we've been hosting this show. I want to say hello to our elder statesman who got a birthday coming up on the 19th. And if we do anything, we're going to send our prayers out and our wishes to our friend over in North Carolina. I know you're out there somewhere and you hear me. I think I see you on the switchboard, and your time will come. But right now, we got to pull in Dr. Clark so we can say howdy doody, and we're going to address this topic today. Like I say, this one's going to be an interesting one for all of us. So fasten your seatbelt and let's say hello to Dr. Clark.
Good evening, good afternoon, good morning in some places. Thank you so much for joining us again. As always, it is my honor and I count it a privilege to be able to sit with you and share this space and be the container as we continue the conversation in one way or another when numb is not enough, as we tackle this whole phenomenon of grief and loss and the many different facets, faces that it has, and try to make some sense of it so we can embrace the pain and learn how to live life with intention and purpose to honor the loss.
Well, here's the story, folks. Sometimes we let the topics come to us. Dr. Clark is much more organized than I am, probably in the brain as well in documentation. But at the end of the day, this is probably what complements us professionally. Today, we're going to be talking about something called grief transformation. Right. Go figure that one out and then watch how she breaks this down. But I got an email from someone who had written me, and it looks like even a few days earlier. So I'll just call this particular segment Divine Intervention, because this caller or this person who emailed us, and I'm definitely going to be protecting their name, says, "I need help." And there was an exclamation point with it. And they said, "I'm ready for a change because I feel lost. I don't know myself anymore." There's two more behind that, Dr. Clark. Do you want to address the first one or have me keep going?
You can go to the other two and we'll circle back.
Okay. We won't forget you out there now, the person who feels lost. But this one here, this one really gets me. They said, "I don't like who I have become. I've become cold and distant." Boy, we know that feeling. And the impact that that has on the people around you who are trying to figure out a way to reach you. And anyway, yeah, that's a tough one. And the last one says, with a question though, Dr. Clark, they say, "Will I ever get back to who I was?"
You know, that's my favorite, right? That one is my favorite. But let's circle back to the first one. The first one talked about being lost.
Yes. I need help.
So, read the whole thing again.
I need help. I am ready because I feel lost. I don't know myself anymore.
Okay. So when it comes to grief and loss and going through that process, there are times where we don't feel like we know who we are, where we're going, what we're doing, what's before us, what's behind us, what's on our left, what's on our right. We don't know Monday from Tuesday, from Wednesday, from Thursday, from Friday, from Saturday, from Sunday. Just the name when numb is not enough. And so it definitely has a way of doing that to us. And if we do not allow ourselves the space and the permission and the grace to start working through that, we'll find ourselves stuck. And we'll find ourselves falling in one of those categories of grief that we talked about way early on, one of those 16 categories of either that inhibited grief, that delayed grief, or that masked grief, or just that absent grief where we just don't do anything at all. And so it's at this time when we find ourselves saying that we need help and that we feel lost, let's look at what the core of that loss could be. Have we made a connection with that thing or that person or that situation where the loss has occurred? Have we brought as much closure to that particular situation as possible, or is it still kind of still dangling there in the abyss? And so start to look at what are the things around us that may be contributing to this feeling that I just feel lost. And go back to what we talked about some time ago as well, that post-traumatic growth that occurs, and looking at those five areas. And sometimes we have to force ourselves into a changing situation. Because remember all the transformation and the help and the being renewed starts with the mindset. So if you're stuck in the mindset that I'm just lost, your mind has nowhere to go. So you've got to get yourself to that place where you're ready to make that shift in your mindset and look at those values and those beliefs and those behaviors that have been holding you in this spot, and look at where the adjustments need to be made and tackle it one piece at a time. It's inch by inch, but I can't tell you it's a cinch, but I can tell you that it's inch by inch. And for every yard that you gain, you're getting closer to the touchdown.
That is such solid advice. Yes, you just knocked that one out the park. Hopefully you folks will not only be able to play this back, but also share that with somebody who has become quite distant and tune them into our show, because I don't know about you folks, but sometimes this is extremely helpful for me in helping mentor. You don't have to be a psychologist or psychiatrist. Guiding people in the right direction where you know that they can get some help is a very noble thing to do. Now, that second one, I don't like who I have become. I have become cold and distant, Dr. Carr.
And we can find ourselves in that space as well when it comes to grief and loss. Again, it's unresolved. And we remember the impact that loss has on us is directly correlated to the relationship that we had with that loss, that physical being or that intangible loss that we had. So if there was a relationship of loss that was a little strained, then yeah, we might be a little distant. But then if it was one that was very impactful for us, then being cold and being distant might be our way of protecting ourselves from getting that close to something or someone again, because we don't like the feeling that we have when that object or that thing or that person is removed from us. So now I must surround myself with this bubble and this wall of coldness and this wall that keeps me away from being able to feel fulfilled and to feel satisfied, because I don't want to face that underlying fear that might be there should I have this experience again. And so, again, you must put yourself in a space to know that, yes, you may go through loss again. And I would suggest, I would venture to say that you will definitely experience loss again in one way, shape, form, or fashion. But if you confront it now for what it is, when it comes around again, it will be more of a familiar place to you, and you will respond to it in a different way. And so you start to bring yourself out of that coldness and out of that yesy place. Because the topic for tonight was talking about grief transformation, that the transformation is not always pretty, but it's necessary. And so being cold and feeling distant is the ugly part of the transformation that needs to happen, so that you, when you come through that, you can look in the rearview mirror, but you don't have to look there. You can keep going forward.
Outstanding. Well, the before we call our elder statesman, I'm going to jump into this third one. While it was very brief, I just thought it was very powerful. While I've got an opinion, I'm reserving it and just hope I'm on the right thing, Dr. Clark. The person asked the question, will I ever go back to who I was, Dr. Clark?
And the answer to that would be an astounding and a hard no. You would never go back to who you were before that incident took place in your life. It's just like people who say, oh, I can't wait till things go back to the way they were after COVID. I can't wait till COVID's over so we can get back to life. Life will never be the same as we knew it prior to COVID. Same thing when we have that journey of grief and loss. Our lives are never the same after that incident has come and has reared its head and has made its presence in our lives. Again, it's relational. If that loss didn't mean much to you, then yeah, you might be able to go on business as usual. But if it was connected to some hardcore love and relationship and compassion, then no, you won't be the same. Because now remember, you must redefine yourself in the midst of who you were while that key figure was here. Was it a spouse? Was it a sibling? Was it a coworker? Was it a pastor? Was it a niece? Was it a nephew? Was it a nephew? Every label that you held to that object or that person held to you is no longer that. And so now you must redefine who you are in the absence of those labels and give them new meaning. So you will not be the same, but you can be better, and you must be intentional about who you develop and allow yourself to transform to be in such a state, in the space that you're in now. That space is no longer. Yesterday is gone, and yesterday is gone, today is here, and tomorrow is yet to come. And so now you must redefine yourself and live life in a different way with meaning and intention.
You know, Dr. Clark, I'm so glad that I held my comments until you finished. And I had to catch myself because I was almost celebrating by being on the same page with you. You know, that would be a little bit morbid because it would sound like I'm celebrating someone's loss, but this was personal to me. And one of the things I noticed that that particular email didn't do was describe who or what kind of person they were before the loss. Because sometimes
exactly.
we go through stuff, we might not want to ever go back to who we was because that might not be a very attractive individual.
Right.
And I don't, in the physical sense, I'm talking about the character and who you represented. So, glad we're on the same page there, and hopefully, folks, by the time this is over, Dr. Clark will also provide us with some type of an exercise that we might use as it relates to grief transformation. But for now, I think I saw the lights on our switchboard light up, so those of you who have not gotten a welcome or I don't recognize your number, I do see that you have LinkedIn. Thank you very much for being a part of it. And go ahead and write us at FlashPKSLLC and let us know what you are thinking, topics you want to discuss as it relates to grief, loss, and anything there in between. But let's talk to our elder statesmen. And the reason why we do this because there's a term called rite of passage. For those of you who don't know what that really means, it's the process that one goes through in life. Primarily, folks used to always associate it with a child going into adulthood. But as we know, if we continue to live, there are many phases of our life, and some people say it's every 7 years, we slowly but surely physically and emotionally change. And unfortunately, if a sudden event happens, you may change into something you don't even recognize anymore, and you're trying to figure out how to get a grip, and this is why you've tuned in to us and we listen to the great Dr. Clark. But Elder Statesman, I got a question for you. Are you there?
Yes, sir, I am.
Fantastic. Great to be talking to you. One, an early happy birthday to you. I understand you're going to be 70, or is it 69? 80.
79.
Which one is it? 79. Okay. Well, again, early happy birthday, and we'll try to remember you on the day that you came into this world. What a gift that we've had, ladies and gentlemen, there. But can you recall a time when it was very, very difficult for you to adapt to a major change that has happened in your life? Hold on, just in case you start slipping a little bit, Dr. Clark is here, okay? So go ahead and answer that with a little courage and assurance that she'll be here to help bail you out.
I can remember years ago, my wife said, "I don't want to be with you anymore," and she left. There were 3 or 4 years right there that I don't even recall being around. Everything is a blur. I was becoming something that in large measure was not pleasant because I was reacting to what I never saw coming and never wanted coming, never wanted to happen. So those 3 or 4 years or 5 years or whatever during the time, it was an absolute blur. I don't remember a lot of stuff. I'm sure it happened, but I don't even remember it. I guess that's just a mental block that I don't want to remember that fine. I really don't. So since then, especially the last 4 or 5 months, thanks in large measure to a church I've been going to, the people at the church have been so instrumental in changing my attitude about things. Certainly the pastor has done his part, but I have redefined myself. And I'm content with who I am. I think the word content means a lot. Are you happy with who you are? Are you happy with whose you are? And I am, yes, in both cases.
Wow, and we are happy with who you are as well. Dr. Clark, our elder statesman mentioned that there was a gap in his recall for about 3 to 5 years, I think he said. Would you say that amnesia could be part of a grieving process to that one escapes and to the point that they can't even remember sometimes what they were bothered by or how they got to that state? Can you elaborate on that? Is amnesia part of this process of grief?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's part of sometimes what happens when we're in that denial stage, right? We don't want to deal with it. We don't want to face it. And so we suppress these thoughts and these feelings. And sometimes it's done on a subconscious level. We're not really aware that we are doing this thing. And sometimes we are very intentional about doing it. Again, because of what is connected to it. There's so much fear underneath it. There's so much pain underneath it. It's easier for me to just act like it's not there and go ahead about my business. But what happens is down the line, it either hits us like a Mack truck and we become all broken and discombobulated, or it starts to manifest itself in other ways. And remember, we talked about what the mind can't contain, the body will begin to manifest. And so then sickness and disease and headaches and stomach aches and back aches and arthritis and high blood pressure and diabetes and strokes and heart attacks, all those things start to creep in because of what we have been suppressing all these years. And so sometimes we have to be in a space where we just have to put it on the back burner for a moment because, yeah, there are moments where it's so overwhelming, we have to be careful how we let it in. And we've got to do it in small spurts over time, because for it to happen all at once would be more than what we can humanly bear. But it is definitely possible to have an amnesia when it comes to grief and loss.
So would you say our elder statesman has gone through a successful transition or transformation? I would.
In that respect, I would absolutely say that he has.
So, Mr. Elder Statesman, we are very, very proud of you, and we appreciate you sharing, obviously, something that was earth-shaking at one time, and obviously, certain things in life we just don't get over, okay? We learn to cope, and that's part of the reason why Dr. Clark has come on to help us manage, sometimes get through, but getting through might not be to the finish line. It just might be getting through from one step to the next as we are on the journey of being able to manage some of the more difficult things that impact our lives. And if some of you had listened to what she was also talking about, she mentioned the fact that a lot of other symptoms may come up that you really didn't see coming, the diabetes, the high blood pressure, the strokes, heart attacks, cancer, using drugs to suppress what you're going through, all kinds of things. This is why we're so glad and grateful to be on this show listening to Dr. Clark. Can you recommend any exercise that or maybe just give your number so that people can go ahead and call and be very specific about what's going on with them instead of sharing it out here with thousands of folks. So how do they get in contact with you, and is there anything that we can do tonight to get us through to the next day or to be able to call maybe at an appropriate time starting tomorrow, folks? How about it, Doctor?
Yes, 818-646-6608. Or you can use the 626-399-6784, drclark.rr. otm@gmail.com. So when we find ourselves in this space, let's just do a couple of deep breaths as we breathe in, think of the loss, their connection, what they mean, what it means. And as you exhale, think about how you would honor them with how you live. Again, deep breath in. What do they mean? What does that mean to you? And exhale. Now, how can I live with intention to honor them? One more time, breathe in. What do they mean to me? Exhale. How can I be intentional and honor them and shake it off? Because sometimes this transformation gets heavy. Sometimes this transformation feels like a ton of bricks. But when we think of the new life, see yourself as that cocoon that's been working on itself, working on itself, working on itself. And at the end of that period, visualize the butterfly coming out of that cocoon, flying away, never looking back at the pain and sorrow that was left behind. So your memories are an affair of the heart. Some are fresh and warm, while some are blocked from our present awareness. Without a doubt, my continued living is connected to my most...
Ladies and gentlemen, as you well know, sometimes it's okay for us to just be still for a moment. Our show is being brought to you by Flashback Academy. And Flashback Academy, while there has been some people saying that I'm a little bit nuts to think that we can help get our veterans off the streets when it's not a priority of our federal government. Well, some of the things that are a priority, we'd hope that at some point our government can help rethink this. As we know this week, rather than giving our veterans, our soldiers an increase to keep up with the cost of living, they were given food stamps. But we're just going to be grateful for their contribution to help us stay safe and hope that the government gets it right. And as far as me being nuts, wanting to build Flashbacks to get our veterans and our former foster care youth off the street, they can call me crazy if they want to, but I'd rather die doing something than sit back and do nothing. Thank you for the elder statesman and his service. And to Dr. Clark for making some sense out of sometimes this chaos that we call grief and loss. Thank you, Dr. Clark.
Thank you for having me once again. And remember, give yourself permission and give yourself room to grieve. Until Saturday, you can take care.
The silence is quiet, and it feels like it's getting hard to breathe. And I know you feel like dying, but I promise we'll take the world to its feet. Bring it to its feet. And I'll rise up, and I'll do it a thousand times again.